Get the fiend in there.
Everybody, please welcome one of my comedy brothers, Mr. Jeff Dye.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm wearing a tank top, which I have strong beliefs against. Strong beliefs, but it's 90-something degrees here, and I decided to do it.
We look like we're both prepared for a Instagram apocalypse.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Not like a real one.
We kind of look like one percenters who are like, we know the world's dying, but we have a compound. Jesse Mays in Maui. I'm in my weird house with demons.
We've been preparing for this for so long. I have all of my matcha latte mix rets to go.
Cheers. I'm drinking Corona to prove that I'm not afraid of anything.
Yeah, we're not afraid. We're good. Everyone thought that Corona, remember sales went down. Their fucking share went down. People are so dumb.
Well, don't you feel a little guilty for enjoying quarantine? Like, I'm a positive person. You're a positive person. So I'm sure we're just like making the best of it. But I do feel a little guilt. Like every day I'm like, I could do quarantine for another year. I got money. I got stuff. This is fun.
It does feel nice to be off the road.
Yeah. I feel like I should have to complain about it, but I'm just really enjoying it.
I am too. Like, what have you been doing? What's the thing that you've been doing different? I feel like everybody I talk to is doing something differently that they haven't normally done.
Well, I don't have a family or a girlfriend or kids or anything. So it's,
well, you have a guest behind you.
Besides him, he just stalks my dreams. We're not intimate. He is the fiend.
Who is he? I have no idea who I should know who he is, right?
No, you shouldn't. No, he's like a pretty new wrestler in the last like year. Most people that know wrestling is like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man. Like that guy's been around for 40 something years. Some of them are dead. This guy's new in like the last couple of years. The Fiend.
Oh, I was going to say like the panty sniffer. He looks like a panty sniffer.
I bet he does that. Yeah. that seems on brand. I will say though that like, I didn't buy that. That should be noted. A fan heard me talking about it when she was they're wrestling fans also. And she was like, I'm just going to send him a cardboard cutout, a life-size cardboard cutout.
But, oh, look at his pants. He's got those pants that like Robin Thicke wore at the MTV.
We were there.
We were there.
We saw that live. We walked the red carpet together.
Oh my God, we went to the movie awards together with
you and Jamie Lee. I looked like I had like two dates, and then I was like, I was hammered.
That big chunky necklace. Didn't you have like a rope chain?
Gold chain, but it's solid plastic. I wear it everywhere.
That is so. Oh, I thought it was real.
No, not at all. But that's what makes rappers like it. It's because I catch their eye, like, oh, who's this dude with the solid gold bike chain? And then they're like, wait, that's plastic. This dude's goofy. And that's exactly what I'm going for. Goofy.
I thought it was. Wait, hold on. Babe, can you hold off on the hammering for a minute? Can you wait like maybe 30 minutes for the hammering? Quarantine's been great.
You're dating a construction worker? What's happening? What do you mean hammering?
He's building me a podcast studio.
You're just putting him to work, that poor bastard?
Yeah, he's literally, I'm like the worst nightmare. I'm like, can you like move that over here? And then can you put this here? Yeah. Can you stop working? I'm doing a podcast and asking him to stop building the thing that's going to help me do the thing. But it's, you know. It's like,
I love you and you're just treating me like a laborer.
He's building like a $20 million home in Bel Air. So what he's doing right now is like potatoes. Compared to what he normally does.
So maybe he's not as annoyed as what you're suggesting.
Yeah, maybe it feels like, you know, play for him. Like it's kind of fun.
Studio. Although the budget's probably different. If there's a $20 million home.
Yeah.
Podcast studio, like, I don't know where you get hammers and wood. Go get it, honey.
Yeah. When's the last time you could build the house on blowjobs? You know, getting it all done with paper.
This is the future. You are the future.
Can we get back to the barter system?
Yeah, and all parties are happy about it. The laborers are going to be happy
about
it. The customer is going to be very happy.
Everybody. That's why. I used to tell women that, like, you know, back when we used to do stand-up, I don't know if you remember that, like, on the road.
Yeah, I used to dabble in that.
Remember that? Remember when we used to perform live without the worry?
That was wild.
That was crazy. Those were the craziest times. But when women would be, like, you know, commenting on... I don't know, me like saying that they need to improve their relationships. And I would say that, you know, if your marriage is stale, give a blowjob.
Right. And they're like,
what does he do for me? That's what it always is in relationships.
We like the comedian gals who say, I'm married now, so I don't have to do blowjobs. That's what I laugh about.
That's the worst approach to marriage.
Yeah, well, it goes both ways, but
it goes both ways. And I'm not saying you have to do them all the time. If we're
going
to
be building houses on blowjobs, I'm going to have a really shitty house, I'll tell you that much.
You say that now? You
can some of us now. Just use money? Can maybe some of us? I'll use money.
No. The AC future after COVID, jobs are going to have to be done through sexual favors.
I'm going to have all these gay contractors. I'm like, because, you know, the straight contractors, they're not going to want a blowjob from me. So, like, I'm going to have all these sissy guys. Like, we're going to take a break. Want to dance? You're like, no, work. I just sucked your dick. Can you build the patio I've always dreamed of? I already blew you against my good conscience.
So you're not worried? You're not, because you've worked for so long. You've been on the road for so long. Like, what do you anticipate is going, what's the wave after this for comedy? Like, do you think we're going to be back on the road?
I think it's going to take a while. I think this actually might weed out all the crappy comedians.
Tim Dillon said something like that too.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen because like they were barely making it along and they're probably not going to get in much work.
He said, move back home. Now's the time for you guys to move back home.
Well, it's great. I don't care. Like if you're bad at this, you shouldn't be doing, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, if you're not getting any better, then you should evolve and pivot to something else.
And every company or every business, every industry has people that are shitty at it. We have a shitty level of people. They need to quit.
It's a natural selection. Like, you have to have variables. And vary within it.
I do think, though, that, like, what's going to happen is they're going to lift the ban, right? And then the comedy clubs are going to have shows that are like, all right, only 50 people or only 80 people.
Yeah, my agent sent me something like that. He was like, hey, how are your feelings of going back out on the road in June, July? Buyers are starting to do a limited capacity. And I'm like, we don't even have a vaccine yet.
Right.
You're trying to get me on a plane already? Like, are you that?
I'll do it. I don't give a shit. I would do it. I really? Miss it that much. Yeah, I've actually been okay though. I probably shouldn't say this, but I've been working a ton from home.
Yeah, so, you told me that. So what are you doing? What are you working on?
So the networks are as stressed as any other company, as any restaurant or like fish place or like bike store. They're all stressed.
Yeah, so nobody's immune to the effects of this.
Yes, they're all like, dude, what do we do? So I don't know if you've noticed in the marketing, like if you've watched anything on TV, like even all the commercials are making like quarantine commercials.
They are?
So awful. Like, you know, I watch, I'm like obsessed with 90 Day Fiance. And like every commercial in between is like Apple helping you stay at home. And then it's like them all FaceTiming and laughing with like their relatives somewhere. I was like, shut up. But the networks are also panicking. So they're all trying to figure out how to make quarantine television shows. So using, you know, you saw SNL is shooting from home, the first ever like SNL quarantine episode.
I'm like, oh, I'm bunkering down.
Oh,
I'm shutting off from the world. I don't even know what day it is.
That's great. No, that's the best way to do it. I to be honest, you don't need to. Just one day someone will say, hey, you know that we can go outside again. And you'll be like, okay.
But all right, cool. Yeah. So you're going to get in on creating a quarantine show.
Well, no, like Fox has me shoot. They have me shooting kind of like a game show, like a quarantine game show where two families compete while they're quarantined in their house. And then I'm like the virtual host.
Is it live or do they record it to?
We'll cut it and edit it.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's easy. So I'm just sitting at my house getting like television rates. Like it's phenomenal. And then also I'm a guest judge on The Masked Singer in 2 weeks on May 6th. Which we shot months ago.
I love that show. That show is ridiculous.
It was my dream job. Sitting up there, all you get to do is watch a concert, right? These people sing for you. And I love mascots. And they're in big costumes, which I love mascots. I love
the costumes
like big costumes.
Are really cool.
And then we get to play the game, which is just us, me, Nicole Scherzinger, Robin Thicke, Jenny McCarthy, and Ken Jeong, just being silly. I just was silly. And they're like, you're so good at this. I was like, I'm being silly. This is so easy.
Yeah, but you're built for that kind of show. Like you did I Can Do That with Nicole too.
Well, and so I hope that I get on that show. Not to sing, but just they go, you know what? Let's add a judge. Or maybe so-and-so is too expensive now. Let's give it to Jeff. Like
nobody should be too expensive in quarantine.
It was my dream job. Well, but we didn't do it during quarantine. I did it like in studio months ago.
And who – can you say who – was the person? Can you
I
say?
I can tell you it was someone I've never heard of. So I wouldn't have guessed it if you'd have given me a million.
Did you go who?
No, I was respectful because, you know, I feel like that happens to me too. I do like these celebrity golf tournaments and it's so funny.
Which I'm so jealous of because Bill Murray is a part of it. And
yeah,
he's golfing along with Bill.
So fun. Well, but what happens is they pair up. So these businesses, they go, oh, we're going to go do this. They pay thousands of dollars. And what they're going to do is get to golf for a few days. They get free bar. They get to mingle with all the people that are there. There's usually a lot of like young, cute girls. And then they get to golf with a celebrity. And the list of celebrities is like always old athletes, like Sterling Sharp, Ken Griffey Jr., Kenny Lofton.
OJ Simpson. We don't know if you're going
to
make it.
Oh, dude, I would love to golf with OJ.
He's crazy.
Well, but also, like, how great would that be? His stories would just be like – and he's also famously pretty charming. Anyways.
Of course, most murderers are.
Yeah, he's freaking as charming as that old Ted Bundy character.
Exactly.
So the – so every time, without fail, I come out and I'm like in my little silly Jeff Dye bopping out, smiling.
You go all out. Your outfits, you go full Monty with the golf outfit.
I walk up to these businessmen and I'm like, hey, I'm Jeff. And they're like, this is our celebrity? We've never heard of this jackass.
Wait,
and
you must charm them by the end. They must love you by the end.
By hole three.
Yeah.
I'm telling them stories. I'm taking shots with them. I'm smoking cigars. And they're like, dude, we got the best guy. And I know all these other guys. I'll FaceTime Terry Bradshaw or I'll tell them some story about.
Yeah, once they know your boys with Terry Bradshaw, they're like, what?
Yeah. And also, like, I'm way more fun than pro athletes are famously pretty boring, like socially.
Right. Well, you know, TBI tends to limit your socialization skills.
Their brain damage. So that's what happens is like we get back and my guys are drunk and they're happy and they're like, holy shit, our guy's so great. Come, you gotta meet him. He's a comedian, he's blah blah. And then they're like, we had Sterling Sharp and he barely talked to us and he was really good at golf and he stopped golfing after the sixth hole. So like they're always so pissed off just because I overwork to entertain the celebrities.
You're definitely one of the people that I know, one of my friends who I would say that you could walk into any room. Any scenario and make people your friends.
Oh, thank you. I'm flattered to hear that because I think that's my best gift. I don't think humor is my best gift. I think that like I'm still that little kid that's like, hey, let's be friends. Hey, like me. I like you. Like that's what I want everyone to feel. So that's a great compliment. Thank you.
And another thing that I recently found out about you that I am obsessed with is your scooter situation with the dog.
Yeah, well, I have two electric scooters from Fat Scooters, which are these dope-ass scooters that go like 25 miles an hour.
A longer seat, and they have the back, all those attachments you can put on.
Yeah, and you charge them in the garage, and they go everywhere. And there's bike lanes all in the city that I live in. And so, like, it's never dangerous. I go from bar to bar. I take it to the coffee shop. You never have to worry about parking. Everyone asks you about them. Like, hey, what? Because people are used to those little dopey bird scooters.
Yeah.
When they see mine, they're like, whoa.
And it's got the side compartment.
No, that's different.
That's a different one?
It's different. What you're talking about is my Ural. That's an actual Russian motorcycle with a sidecar for my dog. And it's
– Your dog has goggles.
It makes me so happy. He hates those
that
goggles.
That photo – is honestly, it's one of the greatest photos. I think for most girls, especially me, it's a dream photo right up there with like walking in a field with a horse or having a pack of alpaca in my backyard. Having one of those scoot, what is it called? What type
it's
of?
It's a motorcycle with a sidecar, but they're called Urals.
Urals?
Yeah, U-R-A-L. It's a Russian bike. And actually, you know, want to hear a funny story about Urals?
Yes.
Okay, long time ago.
I love that you waited for me. What if I said no?
Well, I wouldn't have told you because it's more of like a history thing, but I find it very fascinating for two reasons. One, I bought the motorcycle with the sidecar and I thought it was like so cool. I was like, this is so like, it's not cool. No one looks at me drive by and goes, that guy's cool. No one does that. Everyone looks at me and goes, that guy's fun. Like that, like, and I like that. But the motorcycle, one time I pull up to like a Whole Foods or whatever and this guy goes, isn't that like a Nazi sled? And I was like, no. I go home and I do the homework. Turns out it was a Russian motorcycle company. Maybe your listeners can correct me. This is how I understand it. It was a Russian motorcycle company. And then like Nazi Germany was like, hey, those are pretty great. Let's buy hundreds of those. And so we can have one guy be the wheelman, and then we'll put a big turret, like a big gun, on the sidecar, and some guy can ride along and shoot the gun. And they bought up hundreds and hundreds of them for like to fight in the war. And then Ural was so afraid that like it was going to be known as like a Nazi bike that they moved the company to the Ural Mountains. And that's when it was called, that's why it's called Ural, is because right. they moved it away from the Nazis to, but there's some people, like a guy saw me and was like, hey, that's a Nazi bike. And I was like,
When I saw the photo, like I thought that, but because your golden doodle, is that what she is?
Yeah, it's a golden doodle.
She was so disarmingly adorable that the Nazi part of my realization totally eradicated. It was like,
it like a war. It's a, what is it? A war on adorable?
How did you get her to wear the goggles and ride in the
well, it's a boy. His name is Bub.
Bub.
Yeah, he hates the goggles for sure. I've lied about that to people. Like people are like, does he like those? It's like, yeah, he loves them. But the truth is, I love them. He hates them. The only time he likes those goggles is when he's in that sidecar because the wind.
He realizes the value of it.
Yeah, he gets it when he's in there. But then when we get out of the motorcycle, I leave them on because they just look so cool. and he's looking at me like, hey, I don't need these anymore. He's like trying to get them off, but I don't care. He's so cute. I'm leaving them on.
It's fucking painful how cute that is. It's really, really stupid. Oh, wait, back to my original question, which we've gone on so many different tangents. Have you been doing something different in quarantine that you're not used to doing or you haven't normally done previously to this new life?
Well, this is going to sound silly, but it's baby steps. I'm preparing food more, like as far as like I went from never, ever, ever even attempting to like make toast or hard boiled eggs or anything like that.
And I'm eating out all the time.
Yeah. And I'm not pretending I'm a cook or anything now. But I've like started making frozen pizzas and avocado toast. I have hard boiled eggs and I have Uncrustables. Like me just doing things in the kitchen, which I know isn't cooking, but like
I know that's cute.
So foreign to me. Like I'm like making protein shakes and like cutting. Even this, I went down and I used my knives and I cut limes and I've never done anything like that.
It's what so you made weird. Limes? Did you just tell me that you're cooking?
Cook some limes.
Making limes.
What is like? Anything I would do in my kitchen is so foreign to me that even that makes me go, look at me.
And you really have like the greatest kitchen for cooking.
Thank you. And well, that's another thing too. It's like, I ordinarily wouldn't even have limes, let alone be able to cut up limes, you know? So
yeah, your place is set up in a way, for those of you who want to learn something about Jeff Dye, he's got quite the decorating knack.
Thank you. That's true. It's my most feminine quality.
Your decorating is ridiculously, it's like professional level.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I believe, you know, here's the secrets.
You're gay.
Oh, that's
I've
good.
I've got this house I need to get built. That's the secret. I'll hear me out.
I didn't think you'd know it, but that was right on point. No, the secret is like, if there's anything you like in your life, like what's your favorite movie?
Off the top of my head, Jurassic Park.
Okay. So you go to the internet, go Jurassic Park art. And then you just scroll through all the different Jurassic Park, like, that like Ryan Stout, I know for not Ryan Stout, the comedian, but, I think that's his name. Tyler Stout. I can't remember. There's a very great artist named Stout. Uh-huh. And I guarantee he has like a great Jurassic Park art piece that he made. So you buy that, you buy a print of it, and then you get it framed very well. And then you put it in your house. And now every time you look at it, you go, oh, I love that movie. I love Jurassic Park. It tells something about you to your guest. But also, in the reality, that's just a fucking dinosaur poster. But if you frame it really nice, it looks like an adult thing.
Yeah, it looks like art.
It's all presentation. That's all it is. Like, and so, with the exception of the room that I'm
creating images really well.
Yeah. And you just like frame it nice, hang it nice. That's the big secret. Just do everything modern.
Yeah. So what else besides heating up pizza?
Yeah, which is big for me.
That's a big step. I think that's a really good step for you.
I also, you kind of combed like over that. Avocado toast. That's hard to make.
I mean, that's really fucking fancy. That's some real LA shit.
When on the Tombstone Pizza, what I'll do is I'll cook up the Tombstone Pizza.
Right.
Once it comes out, I'll put like diced onions over it and then put hot sauce on it. Like I make it a whole thing.
My late great aunt Carmela used to she would make original sauce. Like she was from, you know, Italy, and she would create her own sauce, tomatoes, all of that. But once in a while, she'd be exhausted and she would, like, I remember this one year I caught her.
She was trying to cheat.
She made sauce out of canned ragu. And I caught her in the kitchen. I was like 10 years old. And she was like, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I was like, I see you. And it was still so good. Like,
it's wouldn't they be able to taste it? Like, wouldn't they be like, this doesn't taste like normal?
She was able to doctor it up enough. So, yeah. Like, you're doing something that legit Italian people do. So don't feel
smart
like you're
lady.
That's cooking.
I won't even use Prego because it sounds too close to something a hip girl I date would say for pregnancy.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of like a I'm totes Prego. It's kind of weird feeling.
Prego, and I'm like, can't do it. So I won't even have the Prego in my house.
All of it, like the Prego sauce and the reality sucks.
Horribly named.
What would suck worse, the sauce or being Prego?
Oh, the being pregnant.
Yeah, being Prego would definitely
way worse. We never addressed my face wounds.
Oh my god, I was just gonna say, do you want to talk about your third eye?
Yes, just because. It's probably distracting. I know how people are in the modern day. Nobody can just watch a video for what it is. They have to go like, oh my God, did you see the kid in the background? It's like, it's not about the kid in the background.
You say that and you've got that there.
He's cool though.
He's cool. No, but you're right. There's so much scrutiny over all of it.
Yeah, like every video, like on like, what's that show with Rob Dyrdek? It's basically America's Funniest Videos or Tosh.0. Like he made one. Yeah, Ridiculousness. It's like that's what the Chanel West Coast and Sterling Brim. That's like how they think they're being very original and contributing. Is like, hey, did you notice this guy in the background? Look at his face. Look at his face right there in the background. It's like that's videos about a fat guy falling off a log. Why are you pointing out someone's face in the back? Because it makes them seem like I notice things no one else notices.
Right.
Very annoying.
What is that black button to the right, right over your shoulder? I'm just kidding. Oh. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I see what
you're saying. What happened?
So I feel like maybe some people have been listening to this and then going, well, what's with his face? Why is his face? They're not even focusing on what we're talking about. So two nights ago, the power went out in my building.
I already love it.
Oh, my God. We're in a quarantine. And the power goes out. This is so serious. Like the coronavirus is so serious. They've shut down pro sports and concerts. That's how serious this is.
Till like 2021. So,
as good as our lives are, it must be pretty serious. In my life, I've never heard of them going, the NBA is closed. Major League Baseball is closed. Football. I mean, that's how serious this is. So because of that, I'm afraid. When the power went out, I was like, oh, now I'm afraid. Like, did something happen? I call the power company. They're like, no, don't panic. It's not an emergency.
Why am I laughing?
Well, I was freaked.
and the power of you company, being scared makes me laugh. I don't know what that says about me. I'm sorry. Great. I'm a terrible friend.
No, you're not. The power company goes, oh, it's just a transformer in your area. It'll be fixed by later tonight.
I just pictured Bumblebee from the movie in my mind. Because I don't know what a transformer really is.
It's those big circular garbage cans that are fastened to telephone poles at the top.
Oh, okay.
Like where all the electricity and shit goes to, all those brains of it. Well, when that breaks, that provides power for like 800 people. Like each block has like whatever. So they're like, we'll get it fixed by tonight. It's not a big deal. Don't worry. It's not an emergency. I was like, great. So, but now I'm sitting around in the darkness. My dog has to go to the bathroom. I take him outside. And he starts going crazy at the parking garage, but all those lights are off, so it's just total blackness. So I'm thinking someone's in there, right? I'm going to tell them to fucking beat their feet down the street. So I walk my dog in there pretty quickly, and there's a concrete slab that is like corner slab that's like face level, but I can't see it because it's so dark, and I ran into it. This happened while I had a flat bill hat on and a face mask. So who knows what this would have looked like if it was just raw against the cement. But anyways, I bashed my face. I fell on my back. My dog is like barking still. He thinks someone attacked me. It was so humiliating. And I walked in the house and it looked way worse. It's like bleeding down my face. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Was any friend over?
I couldn't even see it. No, nothing. I couldn't even see it like in the mirror. I'm like holding a candle up. It was embarrassing. And I had to be on WGN yesterday morning at 6 a.m.
Oh, you go WGN?
Yeah, like just to call in because they also want content.
I did that like a week ago.
Oh, nice. Yeah, and they're like, do you have anything to promote? You're like, no. I guess my podcast.
You could have promoted this.
Well, I talked about it right away. I was like, let's get this out of the way.
Yeah, let's get the big elephant on my forehead out of the freaking way.
Yeah, WGN's like, hey, so what have you been doing in quarantine besides drugs? You look like a drug addict now.
You know what? You know what they said? You probably didn't see my video.
No.
But like, I'm the same as you. You know, I'm upbeat, positive, and I think we also have in common that we take what we do seriously, so we tend to, you know, bring energy to what we do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if there's press in the morning, I never bitch. I just go do it and have fun and try
part
and
of it. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
So I'm doing that with this morning thing, you know, WGN News, which is out of Chicago. And we're having a good time. I got my glasses on. I got a crown because I've been calling myself Quarantine Queen ever since this shit started. I've got my coffee. You know, I have a cup, like a mug. Yeah. It says Joe, like Cup of Joe. Also, that's my good. Late father's name. So it's like a cute little sentimental perfect. Marshall's special. And shout out to Marshall's. Can't wait to get back inside of you. And so we're like talking and they're like, what have you been doing? And I'm like, you know, just napping and day drinking and, you know, smoking weed and working on a script. And then they asked me about the funny dance show. Did you do the funny dance show?
Oh, no. And, you know,
you would have been
great. I don't
want
to sound rude. It looked like garbage. Was it
garbage? It was a lot of fun. No, it was great. It was a huge production.
Yeah, it seemed pretty shit.
It was great.
Because Jeremiah posted a clip of it, and I love Jeremiah, and I love Lonnie Love, and I'm sure I loved every person that worked on it, and I just was like, it looked cringy.
It was so much fun. It really was. It was like, for me, it was a different experience because it got me through like the 2 weeks where we had to learn choreography.
Oh, so hard, right?
So hard. And also like so hard that you had to focus on it. My dad was dying in those 2 weeks, so I was able to like.
Oh, is that old?
It's from 2018.
That shows how it must have been received at the time of its edit.
Yes, exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then, like, we have a thing on the shelf. Why don't we put that out now during
right? But that's a whole other conversation about the way networks handle their programming. Exactly. It's a frustrating thing between the creativity and the production company and then the castration of the network's notes that sometimes make it all. But so we're on this news show with WGN and I'm telling them, they're like, well, how was the funny dance show? And I was like, oh, it was so special. You know, my father passed away and then I filmed the show the next day and it was this amazing experience. And, you know, so we wrapped up the episode and you know, that thing, like when you do news and they cut the live feed, but you can still hear the in-house audio.
Yes.
So they're like, well, that was Jessie Mae. And then they cut the live feed and I hear Larry go, whoa, she's hammered. It was 7 a.m.
Which is so – I hate that. You know, this happens to me a lot, actually, what you just said, is that some people don't know how to handle someone that's, like, very – you know, we don't have
naturally
to live
energetic. I've never done coke. I've never done, also, like
– we're not – we don't have an HR department. We're comedians. No. We get to be clowns for life, and me and you embrace it. We're like, this is fun. I get to be fun all the time. I'm not afraid to say I smoke weed. I'm not afraid to say, you know, whatever we want to say.
We're
because
goofy.
Yeah, we get to be the life society's clowns in a way. And so it's very interesting is that some people don't know how to handle that. So like my sister who passed away, who I'm like obsessed with, I talk about all the time, but like she was like a mother figure to me. And like all the time we would go to like dinner and like the server or whatever would come over and I'd make a joke about the menu. Like she'd come up and give us menus and I'd say something stupid like, oh, just the check, please. Even though we hadn't ordered anything, you know?
Were you her like, was she your biggest fan?
Well, she was if she wasn't with me directly. So when that would happen, it would make her uncomfortable. And she'd be like, oh, just ignore him. He thinks he's funny. Like she didn't know how to handle it. So she would probably say something like, oh, he's just drunk. Like she doesn't know how to like process someone being silly. The same way as like, you're just being yourself. And they're like, whoa. Boy.
Well, there's got to be a reason. Like they need, you're right. Like maybe Lair Bear. I called him Lair Bear on social media after. I'm like, oh, Lair Bear, I wasn't drunk. I was stoned. Get it right.
Lair Bear.
Lair Bear, I think you're hitting it right on the hitting the nail on the head where people need to sometimes be able to categorize the goofiness into something because it takes a certain amount of a lack of humility to be that way.
Yeah, and we don't need alcohol to be that.
No, so, I mean, I'm having some today, but it's
so they. But they have to. Like, they have to have an excuse. Well, why am I not that happy? They must be on something. You're like, right. No.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like that. That we don't need an excuse. I'm being possessed by a demon, and I'm still happy. We're in a pandemic, and we're happy. Look how happy. You know, I have a fucking forehead scar that looks like I've been doing meth for 4 days, and I'm happy.
How can you be happy in quarantine? Like, for people who aren't like us, what do you think like people should do, or what have you seen people do that works to be happy?
Well, the things I'm doing is I'm revisiting things I would normally feel guilty for doing.
Like
so like, I'm like, I associate progress with like happiness. So like the more things I get done in a day, I guess productivity. So like the more things I get done in the day, the happier I'm like, oh, look at all the stuff I got done. But we can't do that now.
Yeah. It feels like there's the time schedule's all off.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll try to get some things done. Like, okay, I'll organize a drawer that I never thought I would even attempt to organize. Like
a junk drawer.
Yeah, like a junk drawer, or I'll be like, all right, I'm going to deep clean this room so that like I'll move the arcade out and like wash behind it. Like make sure this room is spotless. That's a fun, stupid project that makes me feel productive. But then the other things is I'll sit and I'll play like a video game for like 3 hours. I would never play a video game for 3 hours. But right now,
what kind of games? Like what games?
This is the time to do stuff like that.
Now's the time. The duty calls.
Yeah. Well, it's like you don't have to feel bad. Like if I play video game for 3 hours, what else could I have been doing?
Nothing. But I hear that there's and I've read articles and have heard also from different podcasts that there is a brain benefit to playing certain video games, figuring out solving puzzles. Sure. And you know,
I used to have a theory that men drive better than women because we play video, like those driving video games our whole
interesting.
Life.
Interesting.
At least our generation, like every boy in my school played like Need for Speed, Road Rash, Doom. We played all these like driving games. And then when
you're
it came to like.
Explain why you guys beat us up so much too.
Yeah, we're violent. It's in us. We can't help it. It's part of it.
But do you, okay, so wait, so what type of video games?
Well, right now I'm playing a ton of Mortal Kombat, which is like what I liked when I was a kid.
Yeah, I remember Mortal Kombat. I actually used to play that only when I went to friends' house because we had Sega 16-bit. I feel like that was the girl version of a video console, like a video game console.
I think those games are better.
Do you remember Sega?
Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Altered Beast. Do you remember Altered Beast?
No, but that sounds like a horrible insult from one of your...
That's what they call Caitlyn Jenner in Trump states.
It sounds like something you'd say if someone had a bad dance on your funny dance show. Like, you're dancing like an altered beast.
Yeah, my sister had a Nintendo, like old school Nintendo. Remember the square Nintendo?
Yeah, I still have all that shit.
That's awesome. We used to play Joust. Do you remember Joust?
Oh, I have Joust on this arcade machine. I never played it until I got this arcade machine. But I was like, what are these ostriches?
They're like, you're like, it's like people who look like these little teeny, you know, tiny guys, like these Jeremy Pivens on ostriches.
Well, and it's hard, dude. Those old games are hard.
They're so hard. It's so Zelda was so fucking hard. There were so many levels.
Zelda was also just like a ton of puzzles where I'm like, I don't know. Can't we just shoot something?
Yeah, you just want to shoot. I want to neaten things up and figure things out. But video games are difficult, man. Like, you're right. Now's the time to spend like 3 hours playing them.
Well, and it's been fun. And it's been fun to like revisit all that stuff. And this is very obvious to everyone except me. But not only like I stopped playing Mortal Kombat at like Mortal Kombat 3. And like, they've made 11. So I am like down on my Xbox going, download that. And I've just been playing all. It's so fun. I'm like, I can't believe
they hung over from it.
What's that?
Do you get like tired and like hung over from it?
Well, when I get bored, I just turn it off and watch something on Netflix or go like cook something or make something. But I will say that it's affected my dreams because the game, the Mortal Kombat's so violent that like I'll have like a nightmare. I'm like, what was that about? And then, oh yeah, I played 3 hours of dudes cutting each other's heads off and stabbing each other. Like, of course I'm.
Are your dreams like, are they animated or do you feel like you're in a game?
No, but I am doing violent things. I'm like the least violent guy. I'm like a pacifist and like don't believe in fighting and shit.
Have you been in a fight? I can't imagine you fighting. Not that I don't think you have the skill. It just isn't a part of your fabric.
You didn't have to even sugarcoat it. I would be mad. And I lost. I couldn't even beat up a wall.
No, I fought the wall, but the wall won.
The cement wall definitely won. So there was a time where I fought a bunch. But there's a asterisk, is that the movie Fight Club came out.
Is that about you?
No, but I was living in a house with 11 guys and we started a fight club in our house.
Were you an athletic team or just?
No, it was the day I went to college and I was kicked out of my parents' house. So I was just like crashing in a room for super cheap at their place, like a little nook.
How old were you?
Like 17.
Why can I ask why you were kicked out of your parents' house?
Yeah, we didn't get along at the time at all. And then also I got caught shoplifting.
I did too.
It was awful. And my parents.
What did you steal? What did you steal?
Batting gloves. Like the little things you wear when you hit. Not like a baseball mitt, like batting gloves.
They couldn't let you just, obviously you needed those.
Just let me off the hook. What's it? And also like I was such a bitch when I got arrested. But anyways, because of that, my parents kicked me out and I went to stay with my Young Life leaders.
That's a little harsh.
I think so too. It was ridiculous.
That's a little bit harsh of a sentence. It's like the equivalent of people being in jail for having or selling or smoking weed now.
I agree. I have a whole theory about that. I have a whole solution to that.
Okay, we could talk about that after.
So yeah, they were like all college guys. So they kind of created their own like frat. They're like, what if we rented this big house and we all paid, you know, a certain amount, we share rooms and stuff. And so the house was awesome. It was called the Ravenna House. And it was huge. And there's 11 of us, me and 11 guys. And so when the movie Fight Club came out, we're like, we should do that. And we would fist fight. And I slowly climbed the ranks. I beat the shit out of some guys. And then the top guys were like seniors at the University of Washington. One was a firefighter. The other one was this guy named J-Mo, who was like this big bear of a man. And so they beat my ass every night. But that's how I got good at fighting, is because they would beat me mercilessly. But why I say as an asterisk is because that doesn't count as a real fight. We loved
each other. No, that's a whole other level. That's like a masonry. That's like you guys were like the Masons. It was a small society.
Yeah. But also, like, if I wanted it to be over, it could be over. Being in a fist fight,
you're just
decide when it's over.
When it's done, it's done. Did you see the video of Jeremiah Watkins and Luis Gomez slap boxing in the street of New York City with Jay, with Big Jay Okerson?
No. How'd that happen? I don't know what the.
It was like some sort of challenge, like a slap box challenge. And it was filmed on the streets of New York. It was between Jeremiah, very similar to what you're describing, where there was a group of probably, you know, Bonfire fans wrapped around them. Jay was like the ring announcer, Big Jay.
Oh my God, it was a whole thing.
And they really, they got some slaps in.
Was it like they were going slap for slap, turn for turn?
Yes.
Oh, I've seen that on the internet and it always makes me really uncomfortable.
It's just, there's this whole conversation about gender and the spectrum of gender. And, you know, we're in a society where everything's very fluid, but when it comes
not where I live, and I don't give a shit about that either. We're not on E anymore, baby. I don't have to pretend like that horse shit's real.
No, there's a group of people who believe that there's, you know, it's fluid. And I come from a different generation and I think, you know, people deserve to have rights, and I don't want people beaten up because of their identity
of course,
and how they identify. Right. People deserve
can't
respect.
Change science.
Right. Exactly. But there is science to boys being destructive and girls being productive, for lack of a better comparison. Like, we make things and produce things and we nurture.
Right. Well, there's a reason that our prisons are full of like 97% men, and violent crimes are like 98% men, and aggression and spousal abuse is like over 89% men. That's not a coincidence.
Right. And
we're more violent creatures. We're more physical creatures, and that's awful. And it's also good in some ways.
Why do you think men historically are more violent?
That's the way we're made. It's in us. We have more testosterone. We're also larger in size. We also have different chromosomes. It's biology. It's not like an opinion or an up for debate like some people think it is.
Right. It's science.
Yeah. Well, why is it a crime? Like, what do you think I would be charged the same if I punched Jeremiah Watkins in the face without him knowing in the middle of the street? Or the exact same scenario happens where I punch you in the face in the middle. My charge.
The same, because he looks like my, he looks like my sister.
Well, but that's the thing. It's like,
they would go, be the same charge because they would think it was a girl.
He'd think both are girls.
I'm just kidding, Jeremiah. I love you, but we've said that. You're my sister. You're my less attractive sister.
He punched two ladies? Why'd he punch the tall twin?
Why are these women getting attacked? What's happening in the streets of New York?
This guy's an animal. He's just punching these twins. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's a reason we don't hit women. It's such a silly. I always hate those kind of debates. And then people are like, what are you, Republican? Are you like, I'm like, no. I know the difference between a man and a woman. And that's what, because if I believed men and women were exactly the same, why wouldn't I just date dudes? No, I prefer women. That's what I want to date. Yeah. I like them better than
men. Parking your car in the Harvard yard. You know, it's a different scenario. It's a different situation. There was something that you were going to touch on.
Marijuana.
Yes, your whole thoughts on, you know, decriminalization and people who are still incarcerated because of cannabis. And
if I ran things, whether that's a mayor, a governor, a president, a lobbyist, whatever it was, if I ran things, I would look at all of our prisons and I would say anyone in here for a drug charge, whether it's possession, whether it's, whatever it was, selling, whether it was like on you and you – disorderly conduct, anything that had to do with drugs, you get to get out of prison. You get released immediately. No matter how hard the drug is and no matter how frivolous the drug is, your new sentence is that you're forced to go to treatment. That doesn't mean you have to be clean and you have to go to like 12-step sobriety, but you need to see someone. A professional, like we need to fill up these hospitals. Don't fill up the prisons and jail cells.
Right.
You fill up, get psychologists to get some work, get some therapists to get some work, get these rehab places to get some business. And what we're going to do is help you either handle your addiction or completely get clean, whatever's best for your situation. But these people, most people that are on drugs are kind of sick.
That's one of the issues is that I agree with you. I just think that our healthcare or a lack of, you know, therapy that's available for people, it's very limiting. And I think the one thing that's an issue is people's association with the word and the theory behind therapy is so stigmatized.
Yeah.
They just need help. Antiquated in their approach.
Yeah. You just help. That's what they need. They need some help.
Need access to various therapy. They need access to, you know, your armchair therapist, to trying out ketamine, trying out ayahuasca, microdosing, yoga. Like, all of these things should be available as a medicine and people from all walks of life and all sorts of socioeconomic backgrounds should have access to all types of therapy. But I feel like that would be the one limiting factor in having people go out and get therapy, is that there's such a limited availability to the type of therapy that people could
get. And if there was a demand for it, like someone saying, okay, all these people are now being sentenced to have to go to those things.
Right.
That creates more money for those systems. And also it frees up some space for people who are actual criminals, because we don't have correction facilities. We have punishment facilities. That's what they are. They're being punished.
Yeah. Well,
people that are addicted to drugs shouldn't be punished. They need help. Who should be punished? I would not, for my lack of punishment on the drug people, I would raise the punishment on any type of violent crime. So if I find out you've even been in a fist fight at a bar, if I'm a judge and I find out you beat up your wife, if I find any of that stuff, then that's in a court of law and you've been sentenced guilty and found. Your punishment's going to be very, very harsh. I'm talking like a bar fight, 10 years. You hit your wife, 20 years. I mean, like, we're really going to punish these people. Because that's what jail is. You don't get to be violent. If you want to smoke a joint or do coke and you didn't
hurt anybody, well, how is that?
Why is that in a jail? It doesn't make sense to be in a jail.
It doesn't make sense at all. But, you know, we both know. This has sort of provided us with, you know, the ability to flow in and out of certain doorways without having, you know, judgment put on us and prejudice put on us, because we do have a past, because I'm a white girl and you're a white guy and there is a systemic situation going on. But
what do you mean by that?
I just think
that.
I think that there, that people of color and minorities are more susceptible to being stopped by police and being thrown in jail and, you know,
being... I don't think that's true.
Why don't you think that's true?
Because the data suggests that poor people get put in jail.
Yes, I agree with that. I do think that
it's... prisons are full of white trash as well.
Yeah, they are full... You're right. They are full of white trash. It definitely is a caste system issue.
Unfortunately, the statistics show that there's more people of color that are poor.
Yeah.
So that number is also the same for jails. So, like, for instance... it'd be like saying people do this in America where they say they call it white privilege. Like, no, it's called majority privilege.
Right.
If I went to Africa and I'm in Nigeria, Africa's a continent. If I went to Nigeria and I'm walking around and everyone's looking at me like, who's this gangly white guy? I don't go, oh, look at all their Nigerian privilege. Why am I so looked upon differently? It's like, well, of course you're looked upon differently, dumb. You don't look like everyone else. The same thing would happen in Inglewood. If I walked around in their McDonald's or something, I would people want to call it a privilege. It's like, well, no, there just happens to be more white people in Sherman Oaks. Yes. So when a guy wearing like a track suit and he's like, we got, you know, headphones on, old people are going to, there's lots of privileges. There's old person privilege. There's youth privilege. There's
old person privilege. I can't wait to old person privilege. I'm going to be an old bitch.
If you're going to call white privilege a thing, then you have to also acknowledge that there's attractiveness privilege.
Girl privilege.
There's female privilege. There's male privilege. Look at the NBA. The shortest basketball player is like 6'5". That's height privilege. Are we going to talk about height privilege?
I do agree. You're right. The larger underlying issue is it has to do with money.
Yeah. And that's the thing. When Kanye West said George W. Bush hates black people, what he should have said is George W. Bush hates poor people.
Yes.
He loves rich black people. So I just think that it's a stupid, not that you did it, but people want
it's
me
a
to.
Limiting, it's a,
they want me to apologize for being white when I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, no, I don't think we need to apologize. But we're also not poor. So we're wearing two different things that sort of put us in a
different... But I was, and I earned it. And right. you earned it. Yeah, so you don't have to ever feel bad for that.
I don't have the guilt. I don't have any guilt. I just do recognize, but you're right. Like, the huge factor is the economic issue.
Yeah.
You know, having money, because as we know, watching all these fucking Netflix documentary, you get some money, it can get you out.
Absolutely. And that's why everyone should strive to do whatever it takes. I mean, I didn't have a high school diploma or know how to read. I found a way. I was like, all right, I guess I'll be a goofball. I'll do whatever it takes. Like, I'll say anything. I'll wear anything. How do I get out of this? Because if I stay here, I'm probably going to get arrested and have one tooth and be on Tiger King.
You could be, oh my God, I know. And there's Tiger King in jail. Yeah, and Mike Tyson is free. Mike Tyson had a tiger, bit a dude's ear off and beat up women, but he's walking free.
He's fine because he has money.
Oh my God, Jeff Dye. Okay, wait, before we go, I've been asking you, you kind of touched point on it a little bit. I've been taking notes because I'm a nerd. I've been asking all my friends that I've been talking to and catching up with, conssequently as well through this. What are three things that you can tell my listeners and fans that they can do in quarantine to thrive, not to survive? Okay. We need to thrive in quarantine. And you kind of touched base on it. You mentioned productivity. Like, I'm similar to you where my value and happiness is placed in achieving things and getting things done.
I think everyone's is too.
Yeah. I think, well,
some people go, well, I'm more of like a relationship person. Yeah. But you want progress in that. So you say, oh, well, first I wanted him to commit to me, and then he did. Then I wanted him to maybe live with me. That's the next one. And then you have these peak moments, and then you go, now I want him to propose. Now
that he's proposed.
What's that?
Is this you admitting you're gay? Because you're putting your...
No, but what I'm saying is those are progresses.
Yes, I agree.
You have a progress of like, oh, I want a 1-hour special, and then I want to be in a movie or whatever.
And I want my podcast studio done when I'm doing a podcast.
We're all looking for some sort of progress. I think that's the secret to happiness is progress.
Okay, so what you say, so one of your words of advice for thriving is productivity and progress.
Yeah.
But
like that can be very ticky-tacky. It could be literally like saying, okay, I'm going to... I used the example of like cleaning out my junk drawer, but I wanted to hang some shelves in my kitchen. So I was like, all right, I'm going to have some shelves hung. I didn't do it, but I got a guy to do it. And then I put all my stuff that I wanted on those shelves, and it made me feel good. And I was like, oh, this was a nice – I felt productive that day.
Yeah.
I'm going to check this off the box that we did on this podcast. That feels
– Me too, honey.
We have an episode of a podcast we can post and for our fans to keep people happy. So that's something –
connection working. Yep.
So figure out what's going to make you feel, like, productive.
Okay. And what's another one?
Another one is – and this one's pretty cliche, but and so maybe everyone would already have come to this conclusion, but I'm spending like 24 hours a day with my dog, and it makes me feel good. Like, I feel like I'm spending quality time with my dog, but that could be whatever. Quality time with your wife, your kids, your you know, don't phone it in. If you're hanging out with your kids, don't be on Instagram. Be on your Instagram when you want to be on your Instagram, and be with your kids when you're supposed to be with your kids.
Fully present quality time. No one said that yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's wild. Everyone's had healthy options, but yours are a little bit more evolved on the level of, like, actually thriving and being a complete human in quarantine. And what's one more you would say that people could implement?
This one's hard for me, but I think it's more rewarding. Learn something. So for me, I've had to do my podcast without a producer, without a sound engineer, without – do you know, I used to just think, I'm the talent. I'll sit there. All these other kids will do this. I'll pay them whatever. But now I have to know how to cut it. Even just uploading something to Dropbox was very difficult for me.
I mean, I didn't even use these.
I know, they're there though.
I didn't even use them.
Because you don't know how to use them, right? But this is a great time to challenge yourself to learn how to use the stuff, or even like I'm slowly baby stepping, learning how to grocery shop and then use my kitchen. That's tough for me.
I think, can I
making
add
a
one
grocery
to
list, list what I need and then cutting it and then going, I had to buy one of these things where you pour the coffee beans or the coffee grounds into this thing. It catches all the grounds and then the water comes out.
The filter?
A strainer.
Filter.
Because you're not supposed to put them in the sink. You're supposed to put it in the trash. But you don't want to – yeah, it can ruin your whole plumbing system if you put coffee grounds in the sink. I had to pay $6,000 because my pipes were full of coffee grounds and wipes, you know, like what are those, baby wipes? I've been wiping with baby wipes. I had to pay like so much money.
You put your baby wipes down the sink? We are not –
no, not the sink, the toilet.
We're not prepared. You know,
that's the same plumbing. That's the same plumbing.
You know, when I was saying that we've got it figured out because we're so fun and we love life. Yeah. We're failing.
I didn't even know you couldn't flush wipes. I was like, I don't know. They say flush.
I've been pouring coffee grinds in my sink.
It's like putting dirt in there. It's like putting dirt in there because it just clogs. And you might have a pipe that goes horizontal and not vertical. So the grounds, just gravity keeps it right there and it collects.
Well,
I didn't know any of this. So I had to buy a strainer and that's all just shit I'm learning.
Well, that's actually, you know, it's a really strong list. So recapping everybody, Jeff Dye says to do what makes you feel productive.
Yeah.
Being more present in your quality time with your friends and your loved ones and to just learn something. And for him and I, we need to learn where to put our fucking coffee grinds.
Yep. And don't flush wipes.
Jeff, I miss you. Where can all my peeps find you? What do you got coming up? How can they see you and listen to you?
I have a podcast on all things comedy called Jeff Dye's Friendship Podcast, where I talk to my friends, which this is going to qualify for this week for sure. And then I'm also on The Masked Singer May 6th. And then directly after that, there's a kind of a recap show called After the Mask, which I'll be on that as well. So watch those. And then I have a project coming up in the works that I can't talk about, but we might announce it May 6th. So we'll see.
That's exciting. Well, thanks for carving time in between your Tombstone pizza and taking out walls with your forehead.
And Mortal Kombat.
And Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Look at us. We're getting our podcast done. We're thriving.
I know. I love it. I love you and I miss you. And when this is over, I can't wait to hug you.
I can't wait to chill in the little sidecar. I want to ride in the
sidecar. Oh, absolutely. We'll get you some goggles.
I'll wear the goggles. Love you, brother.
All right. See you later. Bye, Jess.
Bye.